Amen. I'll tell you, if that singing didn't light your fire, your wood's wet. But God is able to use all of us to encourage one another, and that's one of the reasons that we are here. Ben mentioned to you that I've been the president at Sunset International Bible Institute now for 23 years. Actually came to Sunset about 27 years ago to teach, and after 4 years became the president. And I have announced, and our brotherhood is going to be hearing about this soon, that over the next 2 years, I'm going to be making a transition to the chancellor of the school, and then we're going to be in a kind of a nationwide search for the next president of Sunset International Bible Institute. And that president might be right there in our own school and right there next to my office, and I may have the chance to mentor that person, but we're not going to limit God. We're putting this out for the whole brotherhood, and we're accepting recommendations from our brothers and sisters all around the United States. There's a website. You can go to our Sunset website, and you can actually hear the announcement that I made, and you can see some of the plans, see the profile of the next president of this school. But I don't plan to go anywhere. I plan to stay at Sunset, to be the chancellor, to be a part of the leadership and the influence of that school for as long as the Lord allows me to live. And I'm thankful for the partnership that we have enjoyed with this church. I can't remember exactly the first time that I came here. Can't remember the date, but it was before 23 years ago, I believe. And I just have had this marvelous relationship with this church for all of these years. I look forward to every time I have the opportunity to come here. Now, I told the folks at the early service, and I'm going to tell you that my job this morning is to teach and preach the Word of God, and your job is to listen to the Word of God and then go out and apply it in your life. Now, I expect this morning that your job is probably going to be harder than my job. As you listen, sometimes it's going to be tempting for some of you to kind of tune out, nod off. There are some folks that, you know, you're going to see their head go back this way, and I hope your neck's all right when that happens. But what I really want to say to you is that I read recently that more people die in their sleep than at any other time. But now, if you want to risk it, you go ahead. I love the way you plan your year, and I love the way that you have focused on evangelism and witnessing and outreach in this third quarter. And I want to try to address that with you today as we talk about the Great Commission. Now, it's not the small suggestion, it's the Great Commission. And that goes down to every one of us. Go make disciples of all the nations, Jesus said, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, those that are baptized, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he had just commanded the disciples to go make disciples. And now, as we are a part of that commission, it comes down to us, doesn't it? And it comes down to our generation. Are we going to be the generation that has an impact on our world, our community, our families, and our neighbors, and all around the world? So many of you have been involved over the years with our solar player ministry. And I'm thankful to God for this church and your involvement. About 3 years ago, we started a plan to load all of our curriculum, about 500 hours of the Bible and Bible teaching, on this little device that's solar powered. And we're taking it to remote areas of the world. We've taken it to at least 7 countries in Africa, and we've distributed over 4,000 of these. And every one of these things can teach for about 8 to 10 years on solar power. And can you imagine how many thousands have already heard the gospel through these little missionaries? We call them our little gospel tools that are taking the gospel all around the world. Churches have been planted. Christians have been encouraged. Preachers have been trained because people care enough to send the gospel message out to others. And I appreciate this church for doing that. Now, one of the ways that we're reaching out with these little devices is we now have this material in the Arabic language. We're going to be loading that material on these solar players, and the plan is to take this to the refugee camps, the Muslim refugee camps in Europe, and distribute these solar players in the Arabic language to the Muslim refugees. There'll never be a more receptive time in their life than when they are displaced from their culture, from their mentors, from their mosque, and their families, and they're in these refugee camps. They're going to be more receptive than any other time in their life. I want to invite you to dinner to hear about it. And you can come to the Intercontinental Hotel, just kind of up the road a piece. It's not very far away from where you are here. And you're going to hear a message from a man who was born and raised a Muslim in Baghdad, Iraq. His name is Wissam Youssef, and Wissam is going to be preaching and teaching and talking to us about how to reach Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Muslims are not only in refugee camps in Europe, but I've seen a few mosques right here in Dallas. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
So we probably have friends and neighbors among the Muslim community, and what I'm saying is they need to be reached with the gospel message of Jesus Christ and with His love and grace. With Psalm, who grew up as a Muslim, was converted to Christ, can help in that. Do we have a video that can play? If we have a video, you'll hear a little bit from Wissam just now.
Allahu Akbar, Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Allah. لا إله إلا الله.
I'm Wissam. I was born and raised to a Muslim family in Baghdad, Iraq in 1979. I grew up and was raised as a Muslim, rejected Islam and became an atheist when I was 16. In the middle of the 1990s, found a copy of the Bible in 97, believed in it in 98, and it took me 12 years to find someone who baptized me in a bathtub in northern Iraq in 2010. Love is good. Forgiveness is good too. But these are two biblical values, and you cannot have them in a place that does not know God's word. Basically, you cannot have peace in a place that does not have the Prince of Peace. When I moved to Lubbock, that's when I started to be in touch with people in America in a massive scale for the first time. I started to have roommates around my age, school friends, teachers who teach me what I've been reading in secret for 12 years in Iraq. Sunset taught me not only the Bible, not only how to preach the gospel, but how to live in the American community. You know what is happening in the Middle East because of ISIS and that wave of refugees. Thousands of people are desperately trying to escape with their own culture brought on them. And they're not escaping the real thing. You do not escape from what Islam is doing to your community and take Islam with you. It was my time at Sunset International Bible Institute that I basically survived, and not only survived, but I was provided with everything that I need to start my life all over again. When I was at Sunset, I was pretty much the least expected person to be hired by any church. Well, I'm single. I do not have a home congregation. I'm from Iraq, which many churches do not want somebody who is a foreigner, not to say from a country that's been, that's had some issues with America, to be the preacher of that community. I met a teacher from Rochester, Michigan, that's Jerry Tolman, who told me, do you have any idea how many churches up there in Michigan who have been praying for somebody like you to go work with them? That did not come from anywhere except from God. I have met atheists, Jews, Muslims who praised God after they heard my story.
And the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
I came here to clean toilets in the United States, and now I speak in congregations after I was unable to go to church in Iraq without raising unnecessary suspicions. So, yeah, I do believe that God was behind every single detail of that.
Mahia Galilee. Al-Jalil.
Sunset is a school that is, if that's the right word, envied for because of the training that people and the students that are getting there. It's not expensive. It provides you with the love and support that it provided a nobody, a stranger like me. I do believe that you will get the chance to not only learn the Bible and hope to preach the gospel, but you will get all the friends for life. Sunset helped me have that strong foundation and to know why I am Christian and to know why do I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God and that Jesus is the only way to God. And I am using this, and I am seeing the Christian community here in Metro Detroit getting stronger. I am seeing those volunteers who volunteered to help me in my ministry asking for more volunteers. I am seeing a Christian community who is influencing the Muslim community in their own backyard rather than the other way around. We had an event which was the first and the biggest one-time outreach event of the Lord's Church to the Muslim community anywhere ever. And we called it the Feast of Christ. And it was so effective in removing that wall of separation between the Christian community and the Arab community that people started to be in touch with each other. And Christians started to travel from other states to come here to Metro Detroit to minister to the Arabs and Muslims. That's the community that I want to see. And I feel that the work that I'm a part of, which is not my work, it is the Lord's work, is being fulfilled right in front of my eyes.
What a story Wissam has. And by the way, out at the table here in this foyer and the table over here in this foyer, there are some ladies that can sign you up to attend the dinner. And there's a little brochure like this that you can pick up. We'd like to have the whole congregation at that dinner if you can come. You're welcome. We will buy your dinner. There is no admission cost to the dinner. Of course, it's going to cost you to get out. No, we're going to take a love offering at the dinner for the gospel to the Muslim world. And that's going to help us to get the Arabic in this little device and get it out to the refugees in the Muslim world. So we appreciate you for signing up to be a part of that that dinner. I just heard the other day that the Saturn Road congregation in Garland is going to have 6 tables filled at this dinner. That's 60 people. At the early service, there were already 25 or 30 from Greenville Avenue that have signed up to come to the dinner. I think we can have more from Greenville Avenue than from Saturn Road or any of the other congregations. I just want to challenge you to come and be a part of this great dinner. We can accommodate just as many people as will come, but we need to know that you're coming so that we can plan for your dinner. So sign up and be a part of this. Now, let's talk about outreach and evangelism. One of the books that I use in my seminars and studies on evangelism is Peter Wagner on Strategies for Church Growth. Peter says that there are 3 views of evangelism that the church needs to have in order to have the right outreach and the witness to its own community and around the world. Number one, there needs to be a presence of God's people in every place and in every community. Number two, God's people need to open their mouth and say something. They need to proclaim, teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number three, they need to then encourage, persuade people to become like Jesus, to give their lives to Him, and to obey the gospel and live their lives for Him on a daily basis. There needs to be that presence, establishing a beachhead for the gospel message every place. Paul said it had always been his ambition to preach the gospel where the gospel had never been preached. He was always looking out on the horizon, always going to a place that the gospel needed to be preached but had not yet been preached. In Acts chapter 11, you read the story of the great Antioch Church of Christ. This is a congregation that was a part of that outreach into a place that had never been reached before. You remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned, and the people laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Saul, according to Acts chapter 8, began a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And as he did so, Christians, according to Acts 8 and verse 5, were scattered abroad and went everywhere evangelizing the Word of God. Some of those Christians, according to Acts chapter 11, from Cyprus and Cyrene, went as far as Antioch. Now, the Bible says that they preached the gospel not just to Jews, but also to Gentiles. That was a field that had never been covered before. Those were people that had no presence with the church and with the Lord's people. And now the church was present among the Gentiles. And the Bible says that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch as the presence of God was established in that place. This happens all around the world. God's presence in a place is going to have an impact and an influence in the lives of people in that community, maybe people who haven't even heard of Jesus Christ and haven't yet bought into the gospel of Christ. But the influence of God in that place can be felt when the church is there. And in Ethiopia, where we've distributed 500 solar players in the Amharic language to the people of Ethiopia, there is a young man named Habtu Zemek. Habtu's the guy in the blue polo shirt with the stripes. Habtu helped to distribute these solar players in his native Amharic language. Habtu grew up in Ethiopia as a Muslim, but he was converted when he was a teenager by his mentor, who later adopted him because his parents threw him out of the house when he became a Christian. And they threatened to kill him, but he was protected by Bahailu Ababe, who taught him the gospel and then took him in as his own son. He was educated here in America, and as a matter of fact, he lives now in Washington, D.C. area. He works for a government contractor. He is a project manager, has a very responsible position, but he goes back to his native Ethiopia three times a year to preach and to teach. He was preaching and teaching in a certain village in Ethiopia where the gospel had not yet gone. And as the tent was erected and he was preaching there in that place, he noticed that there was a little girl out in the shadows in the bushes that refused to come in to the tent, but every now and then her little head would bob up and he would see her, and she was listening, but she wouldn't come in. He wondered about that. He went out to investigate after the program was over, and he discovered that she didn't come in because she was crippled. And in that area, when children are crippled, they say it's because the parents were cursed. And because there's a curse on their family, she felt ashamed to associate with everybody else, and so she would not come in to the tent to hear the gospel. But Habtu and the Lord's people took this little girl to the capital city of Addis Ababa. They helped to arrange the surgery that corrected her club feet so that she could then walk. The next time he went back to that village, he not only found a lot of Christians there, but this little girl came running in with a big smile on her face. And her influence and the influence of God's people in that place was being felt all over that region. For you see, there were other parents who had children with club feet, with diseases that caused them not to be able to walk. And they would go to the Muslim leaders of that area, and they would ask, "Can you help our children? This little girl can now walk. Can you help our children?" And they said, "You are cursed. We don't want to have anything to do. Get out of here. You're cursed. Your children are cursed. And if you want to help your children, go see those Jesus people." And that's what they did. And the Jesus people helped their children. And now many of those Muslims are with the Jesus people because of the presence of God in their lives. The church needs to have a presence in every apartment building, in every community, in every city, and in your own neighborhood. We need to have a presence. But we need to actually open our mouth and say something for God. We need to share the gospel. The apostles were told in Jerusalem, "Don't speak anymore in his name." They were beaten. They were chastised. They were told, "Don't talk about him anymore." they left there and immediately went back to the courtyard, and they began to boldly preach the gospel. Every place we go, we need to boldly preach the gospel. That just means that there needs to be more who are speaking the gospel, because the world is out there, the world doesn't know, the world needs to know, and if we don't speak up, who's going to speak up? But there need to be more of us trained and equipped to go. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. We're trying to do that at Sunset. We're trying to train more workers, equip more workers, help congregations to equip more members to teach and preach the gospel. And we're trying to get the message out to more and more people around the world. I'm reminded of when we were distributing solar players in Kenya, and about 865 of them. One of the first men in line, as we had a nationwide conference in Nairobi, Kenya, and the word went out across the country to the churches and the preachers, you can come and get one of these devices and it'll help you preach the gospel in your area. One of the first men in line to receive his solar player was Isaac. Now, Isaac was an unusual preacher in that he had no use of his legs. Isaac has rubber flip-flops on his hands, and he pulls himself along with his hands, dragging his feet behind. But Isaac heard about this, and Isaac has wanted to preach the gospel all of his life. So Isaac, who lives in a remote part of Kenya, sold some of his goats to get the money to buy a bus ticket to travel 12 hours across the dusty roads of Kenya to come to Nairobi to be first in line to get his solar player. More workers are needed. More Isaacs that are willing to sacrifice to preach and teach the gospel and say a word for God. And as those preachers and teachers in Kenya preached, they went to a village where the church had never been known before. And they baptized Cornelius, and Cornelius became the preacher for that little group. And now there's a congregation in that village in Kenya where none existed, because somebody was willing to preach the gospel. And when we teach the gospel and preach the gospel, people can obey. But if they have never heard, how in the world can they ever believe, and how can they become Christians if they don't believe? And that's the message that we need to get across to a lost and dying world. We're trying to train more workers. You may recognize the young man with the longer hair over there. Now, the guy with the real short hair, that's C.L. Thomas. He's one of our teachers at Sunset. And I think some of you have known him, and some of you have heard him preach. He's a dynamic teacher and preacher. But our new student is Jason Williams, member of this congregation. You're supporting him at this church, and I thank God for you sending us a young man like this who wants to preach the gospel. He grew up as the son of Brother Williams in Austin, a gospel preacher, and now he wants to follow in that footstep. He wants to become a gospel preacher. We need more workers in the kingdom that are just willing to say, I just want to be all out, all in. I want to be a preacher, a teacher. I want to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what this young man's willing to do. But finally, there needs to be persuasion. You know, in the book of Acts, after Peter had preached the gospel and people said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the forgiveness of your sins." But the very next verse says, "And with many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this crooked and corrupt generation." We need to be the kind of people who don't give up. Let's don't give up on people that we've taught the gospel to. We need to keep teaching, keep encouraging, keep pleading with them to give their lives to God. It worked in Jerusalem. They were praising God and they were enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number every day those that were being saved, because they didn't give up preaching. They didn't give up persuading. They kept working with people all the time, every day. And that's the job of every child of God. Now look, as we persuade those people, what we're discovering is that God is bringing renewal into their lives. He is changing them. But it takes that persuasion to get them there. In South Sudan, the newest nation on earth, we've been able to distribute some 400 solar players in South Sudan. And the influence of God's people in that culture, as they persuaded and taught and preached, the influence in that culture is amazing. In South Sudan, there are two primary tribes, the Nuer tribe and the Dinka tribe. They have been warring with each other for years. There's a bloody civil war going on right now. They're shooting each other in the capital city of Juba. And it's sad. But the church is a shining light, because they've been persuaded. Their hearts have been changed. And so in the church in South Sudan, even though they are culturally enemies, an amazing change has taken place, because their hostilities were buried in the crocodile-infested waters of South Sudan. And they became Christians. And now when you go to church in South Sudan, you'll see the Dinkas and the Nuer sitting and praising God and worshiping God together and listening to the Word of God. You know, in just a little while, we're going to offer an invitation here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. We're going to invite people to be baptized into Christ. Amen. It's different than the invitation that's extended in the refugee camps of South Sudan. In the refugee camps of South Sudan, they don't say, "Now, if you will come and be baptized, we have a baptistry. The water is warm and clean and ready. There's a change of garments. Everything will be done to help you. It'll be just as convenient as we can make it for you." But in South Sudan, in the refugee camps, when they offer the invitation, they say something like this: "It's going to be very difficult for you to be baptized, because you see, there's no water in this camp to baptize you. We'll have to walk for miles down some dusty road. We'll have to watch out for the wild animals, but that's all right. There'll be enough of us. And when we get to the water, to the river, you need to know that there are crocodiles in these waters. And we'll try to have people on this side and people on that side with sticks to kind of keep them away from you while you're being baptized. But if you're willing to risk it, heaven can be your home." So now, what's your excuse for not being baptized today? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of all your sins, then even in water that's not crocodile infested, you can be baptized. God will save your soul. He will cleanse you of all of your sins. He will give you His Holy Spirit. If you need to be baptized today, then please do so. If there's a prayer request that you have, if there's some need on your heart that you need to share with God's people, then we want to invite you to come. As we stand and as we sing, the invitation is for you. Will you come forward?
858. Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your